We begin our service today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of our God that we turn our attention to today, this final Sunday now of the Easter season, is 1 Peter chapter 5. Today our focus will be on verses 6 through 11. May the Lord bless us in our time of worship today. Years ago, this notice appeared in the window of a clothing store. We have been established for over 100 years and have been pleasing and displeasing customers ever since. We have made money and lost money. We have been cussed and discussed, messed about, lied to, held up, robbed, and swindled. The only reason we stay in business is to see what happens next. That kind of sounds like life today, doesn't it? We wonder what in the world is going to happen next. We live to see what life will bring us. It's kind of like one of the old Calvin and Hobbes comic strips. I'm thinking of the one where Calvin walks into the living room and his mother is sitting there in her favorite chair, sipping her coffee. She looks at Calvin and is amused by what he is wearing. He has a large space helmet on his head and has a cape draped around his neck and shoulders. Mom asks, "What's up today?" And Calvin answers, "Nothing so far." Mom responds, "So far?" And Calvin says, "Well, nothing has happened yet today, but if it does, I will be prepared." And the last slide then has Mom looking at the reading audience and says, "I need a suit like that." Do we need a suit like that? Do we feel like we need such a suit? Well, dear Christians, all of us do have a suit like that. And the suit that we have is called hope. Today we conclude our series of sermons from Simon Peter's first letter. We have been talking about the living hope that is ours in Jesus our Savior. And as we conclude today, Peter gives us lessons for life as we live in these troubled times. Our first lesson is to surrender our will to God. And secondly, to send our worries to God. And thirdly, to strengthen our walk with God. And the final lesson for life is to see the work of God. First of all, surrender your will to God, Peter says. You know, when things are not going our way, one of our first reactions is, "Hey, I don't deserve this." And in a sense, that is true. But it's also untrue. As rebellious children of God, what really do we deserve? Well, so when we suffer, even for having done good, Peter gives us some very solid advice. He simply states, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." We like to think we are in control, that we're the captain of our lives. But then something happens that reminds us that, nope, we certainly are not. And it is a good reminder. We are but dust and water. We will return to that. But even though we are such a small part of God's universe, God has given us tremendous honor. Jesus didn't become an angel. He became a human. He humbled himself before his Father on our behalf to bring us back to God. Humility is not very common in our world. It wasn't all that many years ago when a man by the name of Barry Sanders played football for the Detroit Lions. Barry Sanders was really a great athlete. He was good at what he did, and that was carrying the football. Barry Sanders carried the football for almost 15,300 yards, with some of the biggest and the meanest people in the world trying to keep him from getting a single yard. Some 109 times, Barry Sanders scored a touchdown. And when he did, He didn't do a little dance. He didn't taunt. He didn't spike the football. He simply found the nearest official and handed him the football. When they asked him why did he do that, he said very humbly, making touchdowns was simply his job. He was doing what he was paid to do. Peter says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, waiting for him to lift us up in due time. That's what Jesus has called us to do. It's not always God who strikes us down, but it is always God who lifts us up in due time. In other words, in his time, the best time. The second life lesson is to send our worries to God. Verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. When you were a child, did you have a worry in the world? I recall as a child never having to worry about anything. Mom and Dad took care of everything. Well, as God's children, we really don't have a worry in the world because our Heavenly Father promises to take care of everything. So why do we still worry? Because we're human. We're not super Christians. We are people who face storms in life just like Peter did. Well, here are two timeless tips for when we do become worry warts. The first is to ride out the storm. A ship captain was once asked how his vessel rides out the powerful waves of a storm. And that captain of the ship replied, by relaxing the ship in the waves. The captain doesn't try to drive the ship through the waves, but he adjusts to the timing of the waves. And so the ship is practically being carried along by the sea. That wonderful technique can be applied to people as well as ships. We relax in the power of God. We don't try to plow through our problems, but we get in tune with them and in harmony with God. And the second thing to remember is to remember God's promises. The word worry is used 13 times in the Bible. Compare that with the word trust. It's used 126 times. Or the word believe, used 226 times. Or the word faith is used 270 times. And the word love is used 551 times. Trust, believe, faith, love, over 1,000 times. Do you think the Lord is sending us a message? You bet he is. And the message is this. God says, I keep my promises. And the greatest proof is his greatest promise given and kept. It is the cross on which Jesus died. That's a promise that all our sins are forgiven. And with our sins forgiven, our greatest fear has been gone. That is the fear of death. And when the fear of death is gone, all the other fears fall like dominoes. The third lesson in life is to strengthen our walk with God. Verses 8 and 9. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Can you picture this setting? A lion prowling around the edge of a herd of wildebeest. And when he's doing that, which one does he attack? Have you ever seen those pictures of a herd of animals just grazing while a lion is walking alongside in their plain sight? Some of them, the lion walks right by. They keep eating and he keeps walking. The one he's able to devour is the one that's not alert. Perhaps that animal is alone, not paying attention, or weaker than the rest. Peter tells Christians that in times of hardship, the devil will work especially hard at tearing us away from our God and our salvation. In times when Christians are down extra heavy with the guilt of sin. It is the devil who is prowling, trying to drag us down by suggesting to us that maybe the blood of Christ can't actually save us from every sin. Remember what the name devil means? It means liar. And there's no more real sad story that we have of his lies than the story of Judas. The devil says, Judas, God can't forgive you for selling Jesus. In fact, Judas, not only does God not forgive you, but God does not love you. Oh, my friends, please remember, be alert. Resist that devil standing firm in the faith. Martin Luther used this illustration. He said, picture yourself checking into an inn, we'd say a motel, where you knew that every other patron was a thief and a robber. How would you act? Luther says, would you not arm yourself in some way? Would you not attempt to pay close attention at all times and sleep very lightly? Peter tells us to stand firm. Resist the devil by holding onto the word and the promises of God. This is where we find our strength and comfort. We live in a world of hardship in which the devil prowls around. But as we live under the mighty hand of God. No matter what is troubling our consciences, our lives, that risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ knows it, and he is in control. He who forgave us is also looking out for us. And so Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And the Apostle Paul said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? The answer is nothing. When we are assaulted by stress, by physical weakness, by financial problems, by family troubles, by a guilty conscience, we can do nothing else but take our anxiety and cast them upon Christ. We cling to the promises of Jesus in his word. Never forget, as we face the hardships of today, that we live under the mighty hand of God. And to further strengthen our walk with God, Peter draws a circle and puts us inside the circle with our brothers and sisters in faith. The fellowship of believers is important because we often will find ourselves doing what those around us do. If those around us dirty God's name with their mouths, if they fill their bodies with bad things, chances are we're going to do the same thing. But the reverse is also true. If those around us honor God's name with their mouths and give glory to God with their bodies, our mouths and bodies will do the same. And the fourth and the final lesson for life is to see the work of God. Verses 10 and 11. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong for him and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Picture yourself as a sandwich. The bread is God's grace and glory. They are like the bookends holding up your life. We're in between those two slices of bread, God's grace and glory. And we're there with everything that life throws at us, some good, some not so good. But no matter what, God promises to see us through. God's power is at work in us each and every day. Do you want a rich life, a full life, a happy life, a grace-filled life? Peter says it is possible when you remember his four lessons for life. Surrender your will to God. Send your worries to God. Strengthen your walk with God and see the work of God. There is a proverb about a Chinese farmer who lives on a farm with his son, and they barely eke out an existence. Well, one day, the beloved horse that helped the family earn their living ran away, and the neighbor said to the farmer, "That's too bad." The farmer asks, "How do you know it's bad?" When the horse returned, it brought several untamed horses back with him. At this, the neighbor said, "That is good." And the farmer asked, "How do you know it's good?" because when my son was trying to train the horses, he fell off one of the horses and broke his leg. And the neighbor says, oh, that is bad. And the farmer asked him, how do you know that it's bad? Because when my son had his broken leg, war broke out, and because he had a broken leg, he did not have to go and fight. And the neighbor said, oh, that is so good. And the farmer asks, how do you know it is good? And on it goes. What that proverb teaches us is that often we look upon events that happen in our lives as either good or bad. But my friends, we cannot look at any event as to whether it's good or bad apart from God. There is always another chapter. There is always a final word. And the final word is always God's word. And that is the word to which Peter points us to. He said, sometimes life is going to be hard. Sometimes there is going to be trials. Sometimes there are going to be troubles. Sometimes the kids won't behave. Sometimes mom and dad won't behave. You know how it goes. But no matter what, God always has the final word. There is always another chapter. There is God's chapter. No matter what you face, you always have hope. Hope for this life and hope for the next. And so as we say amen to this very beautiful epistle that Peter wrote, the apostle wants us to always remember how blessed we are. We have something so precious. We have the gift of hope, and we have this wonderful privilege to be able to share this hope with others. Always be prepared to give an answer to the hope that you have, he said. In that hope is the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Savior Jesus. And one day he will return, and he will reign with him forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray the prayer our Savior taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And receive with believing hearts then the blessing of our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. God bless you.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all and all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands at victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Power of Christ I'll stand, and no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ.